City
News.
It's 17:30 GMT. This is Eyewitness News on 97.3 City FM. I am Umaru Sanda Amadu. Tonight, I'm here with
Eno Safo.
And coming up over the next 90 minutes, Electoral Commission begins investigations into naked bribery of its officers at the Ejusu by-election, which is just ending a few minutes ago. We'll be touching base with the constituency to understand what the day has been like so far. Also coming up, as President Akufo-Addo's minister designates remain unapproved by Parliament, some are still running their respective ministries, and this has got the minority side angry, and they are alleging that an illegality is being perpetrated. And later on Eyewitness News, managers of various health facilities in the Eastern Regional Capital, Koforidu, are appealing to the government and the Ministry of Energy to address recent erratic power situations to help reduce the surge in operational costs. Stay with 97.3 City FM for more on this and many other stories on Eyewitness News. And in business,
government assures of creating conducive environment for foreign investors to thrive in the country to enhance economic growth.
That's from the City Business Desk in 50 minutes. Eyewitness News is live across Ghana on a host of affiliate stations. In the Northeast region, we're on Nobia 98.1 FM in Nalerugu. In Upper East, we're on Quality 88.7 FM in Garu. In Northern region, we're on Radio Gaki 88.3 FM in Saboba. In the Volta region, we're on Heritage 107.3 FM in Hohwe and Freedom 88.1 FM in Sogakopa. In the Ashanti region, we're on Adrian Park 99.9 FM in Nkawie. In the Bono region, we're on Greener 95.9 FM in Sunyani. In the Western region, we're on Sky Power 93.5 FM and Beach 105.5 FM, both of them based in Takrady, as well as in Takwa on Adrian Park 100.7 FM. We're also live on YouTube, we're live on Facebook, and we are interactive. Do join us on WhatsApp 0549-986-996. 0549-986-996. You can send tweets using the hashtag CityNewsroom. Tweet at Umaru Sanda or at City973. There's a by-election that went on happening today in the Ejusu constituency of the Ashanti region. It is a by-election to replace the late John Kuma, who passed on a few months ago, actually in March. Now, the by-election is, there are six candidates in the contest, three of them representing political parties and three being independent. A lot of issues have been happening. Our correspondent in the Ashanti region is Hafiz Tijani. He's currently being interviewed by Ajua Domina of City TV and City News, who is currently carrying a live show on City TV. So I want to just take you quick to our TV studios to hear from Hafiz Tijani what's happening, a roundup of events in Ejusu.
And they were so hopeful that Kobna also Edomi is going to win this polling center or these polling centers, which are situated here at the Ejusu RC Primary School. We are still getting some results, not confirmed though, from the Ejusu Assembly, Municipal Assembly polling centers. We have two polling centers there, and we are told that Kobna also Edomi is winning those centers. So results, provisional results, are still coming in, and as and when they come in, we are going to give update to our viewers and our listeners who are following keenly to get the updates here from the Ejusu constituency. So that is why you find most of the supporters of Kobna Osu Edomi jubilating. From day one, they have been saying that they are hopeful that the win could be for Kobna Osu Edomi, but we cannot confirm that. These are just but few of the 204 polling stations that provisional results are still coming in, and we are still waiting for more results to update our listeners. But we can engage some of the electorates why they are jubilating.
Okay, so Adjoa, that is actually what is happening here at the Ejoso Primary School. The atmosphere is actually charged with so much excitement, and we want to engage a few people to see what they actually make of the provisional results. Me pacho, yangu se nkofueni any Adjoa hanom because duo mi elidi na osha and like ofili sense.
Oh. Sonia Omo, I can name him, but according to Chrome Fono, I just doing me, I guess, last 1 year, Omo to me so anything I balance on, but we only if you ma, we did this the rest of the towns, I don't prefer majority.
Okay, so.
According to records,
okay, so actually, people are confident that Edome is actually going to win the elections based on some provisional results that are trickling in. So, we would like to would engage a few more people to actually see how they feel right now, knowing that their favorite candidate is actually leading in the provisional results. How do you feel right now, knowing that Edome is leading?
Okay,
so sister, who feel it say do me a lead?
Because me swan oh, may just say kind of strong and so do me, meaning you must say just be a good be a to what I say, in the do me, scan my own by every time I ever told my do me to what I say, young to my lawyer to what I say, and before me abro.
What is the cannibal?
Ah, maybe 50 dear, and a crab better didn't see how, Major and better do me. Mrs. Kama to my Adomi, what I say, you to me to my Adomi by Ages Kennedy.
And to see, I say, Adomi, and we near Uber Phyllis.
Oh, Adomania. I had the same by Osava Costava Tomano. So I don't also. Aha, you to me never say, be out to my Adomi. Ah, a boy. Ah, Snap, Madame, what sound? You are Tommy Adomi.
Okay, thank you so much. So like as you can hear, so much excitement here. People are actually very happy that Edome is actually in a comfortable lead based on the provisional results that are trickling in. So how do you feel right now knowing that Edome is leading with the provisional results?
Edome is only leading on this area, but for the remaining areas, we don't know yet. So, though I'm happy, but I wish he was also win for all the areas left that we have not yet counted. So, he has win here now. I'm glad he has win.
Where do you belong, Edome or Kwabena Watson?
For me, anyone who wins, me only I want improvement in this community or this town. So, anyone who wins, I'm happy. The lawyer or the Edome, anyone who wins, I'll be glad.
Okay, thank you so much. And she's actually saying that anyone who wins, she's okay with that because she's looking at the development of Ejoso and not the individuals who are contesting to be voted for to represent them as a parliamentary candidate. So actually the atmosphere here is so charged with so much excitement.
Thank you so much, Doris. Stay with us. We'll come back to you because now the results are trickling in. That's Doris Lonsa, Ashanti Regional Correspondent. Earlier, you heard Hafiz Tijani, also Ashanti Regional Correspondent, talking us through some of the provisional results that have come in. Nana, the three results that Hafiz mentioned, of all the three, Adeyemi seems to be in the lead. These are provisional results, by the way.
So that was Adjoa Domina on City TV, actually anchoring our coverage of the by-election in Ejisu. He has in studio with him Nana Tufor Boateng and Sami Wiafidia. So three results that have come through from three polling stations, and the indication is that all these three polling stations have also Edome, the former NPP MP for Ejisu, who is running as an independent candidate leading. But of course, three out of dozens of polling stations, maybe too early to make any projections at all. So yeah, there's some jubilation at the polling stations where Edome won, based on what you've heard from our reporters there. But of course, it's still a very, very early time in the day. Hafiz Tijani and Doris Lonta are correspondents, actually busy out and about gathering as much information as they can bringing us the results as they come through, and we'll be sharing them with you here as soon as the results come through. So the story is that the people of Ejusu in the Ashanti region have been voting today to choose a new member of parliament who replaced the late John Kuma. Now, in the course of the event, there's a video that went in circulation. This video emerged from one of the voting centers today. In that video, the Honorable Kingsley Nyaku, is it? The Honorable Kingsley Nyaku, member of parliament, is for Kwadaso in the Ashanti region, is seen giving a white paper which many believe contains money to some electoral commission officials at a polling station. Now, that was captured by a cameraman for Adum TV, who was focused on his reporter doing a piece to camera at the time, which camera lens captured this particular handing over of an envelope which is believed to contain money to the Electoral Commission officers. The Electoral Commission has swiftly issued a statement signed by its deputy chairperson in charge of operations, Samuel Tete. I'm just going to read it for you. And the statement says, the commission's attention has been drawn to a video circulating on social media depicting one of the polling stations at the ongoing Ejusu constituency by elections. The polling station has been identified as a Fumensua Pentecost Church polling station with polling station code F311503. The video shows a gentleman approaching the table and dropping an envelope on the table manned by the presiding officer and ballot issuer. The Electoral Commission has taken immediate steps and has withdrawn the two temporary staff while investigations take place. The Commission upholds the principles and values of integrity, truth, and transparency. These values are reinforced during the training of all temporary staff. The Commission will not countenance acts which cast a slur on the integrity of the institution and will not hesitate to sanction its officials who violate its laws. The report on the incident will be made available to the public in due course. Signed, Samuel Tete, Deputy Chairperson in charge of operations for the Electoral Commission. So that's one incident that occurred, and the Electoral Commission responding in there. Earlier you heard Hafiz Tijani speaking to Doris Lonta, who is his colleague in the Ashanti region. They were both broadcasting to City TV on the show that we are anchoring or bringing to you, anchored by Ajua Domina. Let me go back and speak to Hafiz Tijani. He's still somewhere in the Jisoo constituency. He's joining us. Hafiz, you're welcome to Eyewitness News.
Thank you, Sanda.
Before we talk about results, let's talk about this involving the Electoral Commission staff. That video that is trending on social media, I don't know if you've seen it. Is that about the only incident that was witnessed, or there were other incidents during the election today?
So before that incident, since morning, there have been allegations about people sharing money to electorates, urging them to vote for a particular candidate on the ballot. And these were allegations that were rife when we arrived at the constituency or in the constituency and visited most of the polling stations. So we sought to confirm this allegation by speaking to the people that were being accused, that is the MPP, that they had their people across the polling centers sharing money. We spoke to leadership of the party. They have consistently denied the allegations. The independent candidate, the main independent candidate, who is also the main contender in this contest, Kobnosu Ediomi, also made a similar allegation when we spoke to him. And he even went further to say that he saw some known MPP members sharing monies to some of the electorates at some of the polling centers. So before the incident, these were the allegations across the constituency in some of the centers where we visited. But the Electoral Commission says it is not taking this lightly. That is why it has taken the immediate step of asking the two officials to step aside, and they would continue investigations into this incident.
Interesting. So, apart from that, any challenges with election materials like we usually see on election days, or that was generally taken care of? Ballot papers not coming on time and all of those things. Any major issues worth reporting on how the election itself went?
The only major issue was to do with the voter turnout, which was low, and the Electoral Commission itself admitted this. And the candidates who are also part of this election were also so concerned about this issue. They say they have gone around to engage the electorate, telling them the date of the election, but the voter turnout was surprising. And the Electoral Commission also confirmed this. It says that though it can't put a number to it, but it was targeting more than 50% of turnout. But what it is seeing now, unless the close of polls and or the end of the election, they cannot say what is going to happen or this is the number of the voter turnout or what has happened to the voter turnout. But this was a major concern. But in terms of arrival or dispatching of the electoral materials to the voting centers, it was done as early as 5 a.m. by Electoral Commission officers with assistance by the Ghana Police Service, who helped in dispatching these electoral materials to the various centers. And voting started at exactly 7 a.m. at most of the centers when we arrived here. Even as of 6:30 when we went to some of the centers, Electoral Commission officers had set up and people were seated in queues waiting for 7 a.m., the time for the start of the poll, before they can start the process. So with the arrival of the materials, it was done very, very, very quick by the Electoral Commission officers with the help of the police. But we've not experienced any issue about the equipment challenge being experienced in previous elections by the Electoral Commission today.
Now, how many polling stations are there in Ejusu, and how many have you received results from so far?
So we are talking about 204 polling stations. We have just come here to the Ejusu RC Primary School, which is just a stone's throw to the main coalition center where all the action will be happening leading to the declaration of the by-election results. And we have so far received three polling stations which are situated here at the primary, the Ejusu RC Primary School. And let me just run you through the provisional results from these centers. So with the candidates, these are the only two candidates that are making a mark in the election, because the rest of the party, they are recording zero votes, others are recording single numbers, and the focus has been on the candidates of the New Patriotic Party, lawyer Kobna Boateng, and the independent candidate who was also a former member of parliament for the Ejusu constituency, Kobna Osu Ediomi. So for the polling center A of the Ejusu RC Primary School, lawyer Kobna Boateng polled 119 votes, and that is 119 votes. And Kobna Osu Ediomi polled 188 votes, 188 votes. And when you go to the polling center B, still at the Ejusu RC Primary, lawyer Kobna Boateng polled 96 votes, 96 votes. And Kobna Osu Ediomi polled 99 votes, 99 votes. And when you go to the polling center C of the Ejusu RC Primary School, lawyer Kobna Boateng polled 130 votes, 130 votes. And Kobna Osu Ediomi also secured 146 votes, 146 votes. So these are provisional results from the Electoral Commission from these three polling centers. We are still making efforts to receive these provisional results from other polling centers across the constituency so we can update our listeners and viewers. But for now, these are the results we have at hand.
Very well. Do keep an eye on the constituency and also, of course, your station at the Coalition Center. Whatever comes through, please do let us know so we share with our listeners and, of course, viewers on City TV.
Thank you, Sanda.
That's Hafiz Tijani, our correspondent in the Ashanti region. This is Eyewitness News on 97.3 City FM. We are coming to you from our studios in Adabraka, in Accra. We are also live around the globe on citynewsroom.com. Are you in Ejusu? Send me a message. Let me know who you voted for if you want to discuss that publicly. And what do you expect to happen tonight, and what your views are on the results that are coming through, and also the conduct of the election so far today, how it was for you from the perspective. That's if you're in Ejusu. If you're not in Ejusu and want to comment on any of the other issues, of course, the message board remains 0549-986-996. That's our WhatsApp number, 0549-986-996. Do send us your views. The world will hear what you think. You can alternatively go on WhatsApp, Twitter, and send me a message using the hashtag CityNewsroom. My handle is at Umaru Sanda. You can also tweet at City973. Eyewitness News will be back in a bit. Please stay.
News. Be there as it happens.
You're welcome back. This is Eyewitness News on 97.3 City FM. We are coming to you from our studios in Adabraka, in Accra. Let me bring some of the messages you've been sending through on WhatsApp. Daniel Akpaliok in Sandema says the Ghana Police Service should, as a matter of urgency, arrest the MP for Kwadaso for bribing the two electoral officers. It's highly reprehensible and detestable for an MP who is a lawmaker to engage in this corrupt act. Al-Hassan Hamdan from Nyoini South says, this is very shameful. Bribery on live camera. How did we get here? This is just a friendly match. Imagine what will happen on December 7. John Natete from Kofrida says, in fact, the Dumso is really hitting deep into the financial strength of the hospitals as a facility can spend about 6,000 cedis a week on fueling a generator set. For how long can this go on? We'll be talking about that in a bit. Amisku Spelele in Kaswari says, in fact, a Ejusu by-election will be a done deal for MPP's lawyer Kwabena Boateng. Hashtag it is possible. This one says, Fuseni Salifu in Kaswa Zongo, he says, it is good that the EC has withdrawn the services of these two officers who were caught receiving something from the MP. Okru Iboa from Beman Benin said, what shows that the EC officials were receiving money from the MP? Let's trust EC that they will do proper investigation for us to know what was in the envelope. Mausi Ayebi attack from Abotiateti in the Volta region. He says it's crucial to uphold the principles of fairness and transparency in the electoral process, and any form of bribery undermines the integrity of democracy. More messages coming through. Baba Chairman in Tamale says thorough investigations must be conducted into this bribery allegation, and if it is confirmed, those miscreants must be punished severely. Gideon in Tatale says this MP needs capital. that's too absurd. Next one, Francis says it's now clear why the president was very reluctant in reshuffling. Very soon. No, I can't continue reading that. This is Eyewitness News on 97.3. City FM. Let's go to the NDC side now. The minority in parliament is asking the chief of staff, the Honorable Akosua Frimpong-Opari, to revoke any supposed directive given to the minister designates to begin acting as ministers without parliamentary approval. Exactly what is happening there? The Honorable Kwabena Minta Akando is MP for Joaboso, a former deputy minister. You're welcome to Eyewitness News.
Thank you.
What is your problem? When Akufo-Addo assumed office in 2017, he nominated persons to be ministers. Before they were approved by parliament, he made them caretakers of the ministries that they were going to. The same thing is playing out now. You didn't complain then. Why are you complaining now?
The fact that he committed a crime some time past and nobody complained and nobody arrested you doesn't mean you can repeat that crime all the time. So what we are saying is that what President Akufo-Addo is doing now is illegal. It's highly unacceptable. It has no place in any of our enactments in the country. It is very, very illegal. In fact, there is no difference between the president representative in a ministry and a minister. Every minister is a president representative in the ministry. And there are clear guidelines, the clear procedures for appointing a minister. They need the prior approval of parliament. We have not completed the procedure. Why hold themselves as ministers or a president representative? In any case, Umaru, we are here. The president has appointed caretaker ministers in ministries where there are no ministers. Substantive ministers like Minister for Communication and Digitization is in charge as a caretaker minister for the Ministry of Health. As we speak now, why do you have to go and appoint somebody to go and act, especially so when that same person is a minister designated and the procedure has not ended? So this is, you see, what the president is trying to communicate, as he's been doing all over, showing that kind of kind type of behavior, is that, look, if parliament is dragging its feet in approving the nominees go to the office and go and start working to help parliament. That's exactly what the president wants to say.
But they are, from the understanding I get, they are just the president's representative to oversee the day-to-day activities.
Tell me the difference between a minister and the president's representative in the ministry.
The representative will not sign maybe documents, so agreements, and all of that.
Who is a minister? Is a minister not a president's representative? Is a minister not a president's representative in the ministry? So, and in any case, I have told you that there's already a caretaker minister in that ministry. I have mentioned the name to you, Honorable Osler. So why then do you have to go and then appoint another representative in the same ministry? Clearly tells you that the man is playing some powers here. That go and work, nobody can do anything to help any constitution in the country, to help the laws of the country. That is the behavior the president and the chief of staff are putting up. But apart from that, it doesn't make sense. That's it. It doesn't make sense. So the rant that was done by Okoboy in Kolebu, as you have heard, couldn't have been done by Osler. In any case, what was the solution he preferred? I mean, what kind of country are we in now? Are we in a banana republic? Tell me what enactment in this country that supports this action of the president or the chief of staff. And one, tell me and refer me to appropriate provision.
Tell me one enactment that abhors that.
The enactment that abhors that is the fact that if the president has not appointed somebody to go through that appropriate procedure, that person cannot hold himself or herself as such. That's what I appalls that. If you have not been appointed as a minister, you can't hold yourself as a minister. It's illegal. That is the position, because the law says that the president shall appoint a minister with a prior approval of parliament. That is the position of the law. Anything contrary to this is illegal.
I'll go back to my question. He did this when he first became president, even before he could form his government. Your side in parliament saw that happen. He brought them, you approved them, and voted for them to be ministers. If you approved and endorsed that at the time, then it means it has become a precedent, and it is a lawful thing, because you are the lawyer or the lawmakers. You saw that happen at the time. You didn't, you know, raise a finger. Why are you now complaining?
This your logic is weird. Number one, I have already told you, I don't need to repeat, that if somebody committed a crime and the person was not arrested, it doesn't mean that the person can repeat the crime all the time. That's number one. Number two, even at that time, he didn't have substantive ministers. The conversion in this country has been that if a ministry is vacant, they appoint other ministers who are already in their respective ministries to serve as caretaker ministers. By the time, we didn't have such ministers. So probably common sense will suggest that, well, let's bear with him because he doesn't have such ministers. Number three, it is even the opinion of the minority that this government is already bloated. So we could even combine some responsibilities for other people to perform. So the fact that this crime was committed some time ago doesn't mean that that crime can repeat itself all the time. But that doesn't make sense.
What are you going to do about it now?
Do we need to draw a machete on the president for him or the chief of staff for her to do the needful?
in any responsible jurisdiction, if you do something or you commit a mistake, and then your attention is drawn to it, you just do the needful without allowing anybody to issue an ultimatum or draw a machete on you. So we are simply telling the president, the chief of staff, to stop arrogating to herself powers that he doesn't have. So this is unnecessary, it is illegal, and they must stop. They must stop. They are simply disregarding the laws of this country, and what they are doing, the actions they are exhibiting now has no place in our laws in the country. So they must stop. Why should we go and do a machete and go and chase the president before he stops this?
Okay,
very simple.
A lawyer has just sent me a message, who is also a journalist, and he says I should refer you to Article 58 of the 1992 Constitution,
mm-hmm.
and that in accordance with Article 58.3 of the Constitution, which stipulates that the functions conferred on the president by Clause 1 of Article 58 may be exercised by him either directly or through offices subordinate to him. He's essentially saying that the Constitution empowers the president to not allow himself to be held to ransom by Parliament, so that if Parliament decides that we are not going to approve your ministers, let me land. If Parliament says we are not going to approve your ministers, the president should not be handicapped, which is what you are planning to do. So you want him to be handicapped and not to perform his duties.
That lawyer should stop that.
In fact, he said that this was being used in the past by NDC and MPP.
It's not true.
He said that.
Can I land, please?
No. He said.
You are wasting time.
Hold on.
Go ahead. You are the man in charge, so you go ahead.
Oh, am I in charge? Okay, good.
You are in charge. You are now, as far as I'm concerned, you are in charge. And you are controlling the conversation.
And you are my mate. Let's go. He said.
No, I prefer to be the co-driver, not the mate.
Okay, let me land. Let me land so we can go back. He said to me that was how Asaga, Moses Asaga, became the representative of President Mills at the finance ministry before he failed to be made minister, if you recall very well. Now, let's talk about that.
I have told you, number one, he is just speculating. If the provision of the law says that you should have a prior approval, let's get there. If you refuse to approve those nominees, you have the opportunity to bring another sect.
Honorable Akando, you had Moses Asaga at the Ministry of Finance at the time. Have you forgotten that all of a sudden?
Please, I am saying that as we speak now, during that time, did the president appoint any caretaker, minister in that ministry, and went ahead to appoint Moses Asaga as the president representative in the ministry? So, I have told you.
So your point is that if there's a caretaker minister, then there's no need to put a representative. But if there's no caretaker, then it's okay to put a representative.
That's not the point. That doesn't make it right. But assuming that is even the case, that makes this situation different from what he was referring to. That's what I'm trying to point out at the moment. So please, why should we be even debating on this issue? This is very basic, and everybody sees that this is wrong. Please do the needful. Except, of course, you are telling us that Osla is not capable of handling that office.
Very well. Let's leave it here. Thank you so much for speaking to us. That's the Honorable Kwabena Minta Akando, his MP for Joaboso, and also the ranking member on the Health Committee of Parliament, speaking to us. Let's get some legal understanding to this now. Martin Kpebo is a lawyer, constitutional lawyer. He's joining us on the line. Sir, you're welcome to Eyewitness News. Hello, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah, good.
Thank you.
I was just engaging the member of parliament who thinks that it is wrong for the president to put his representative or so-called representative at the ministry when they have not been approved by parliament. While we're having that conversation, my attention was drawn to the chapter in the Constitution that talks about the executive, specifically the president, and Article 58. I'm going to just read that and ask you for your views. It says that the executive authority of Ghana shall vest in the president and shall be exercised in accordance with the provisions of this Constitution, The executive authority of Ghana shall extend to the execution and maintenance of the constitution and all laws made under or continued in force by this constitution. And clause 3 says, subject to the provisions of this constitution, the functions conferred on the president by clause 1 of this article may be exercised by him either directly or through officers subordinate to him. A lawyer has just sent me a message saying that based on this reading of the constitution, he believes the president is not wrong in putting persons who are his ministries. The minority holds a contrary view. What's your reading of the law and also the actions of the president?
It's totally wrong. That thing about the president's representative at a ministry is unknown to the constitution. You see, the fact that it's happened in the past doesn't mean it can continue to happen. No, let's get that distinction. Yes, it's true that we have situations where, in the past, 20 years ago, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, Ghana wasn't the same. More people now are interested in our politics than before. We are now engaging the system more because we see that politicians have run us aground. Now, I mentioned that the time Mills had this president's rep at the ministry, I found it strange because there's a decision where the Supreme Court has expressly given directions. I mean, has interpreted the Constitution that when the president comes into office, new government, the president can appoint people to act in some positions for a reasonable time. A reasonable time. So I think at that time we did some radio interviews and I was pointing to J.H. Mensah versus Attorney General. When you read it, go to the last bottom. It's just at the very end. Then you see that, in 2-3 lines. So in the circumstances, the president can appoint people to act for a reasonable time. So that's how come when it's at the beginning of a new government, when you say representative or active, J.H. Mensah versus Attorney General, the Supreme Court says so. But this current situation is different. This current situation is different. This is a government that took office. It's been some, how many years? 3.5 years, right? It's almost 3.5. So in this current dispense, when it's this type of situation, you put an act, a caretaker minister, not a representative. It's wrong. I think Okuboy should stop. They should just say, should go and sit at home and wait. Let's not rush.
But he's acting on behalf of the president. He's been
told. No, but the president got it wrong, Omaru. The president doesn't always get it right. You've forgotten the Domlevo citizens to that, Mr. President, you are wrong. International accounting agencies wrote to you, Mr. President, you are wrong. He insisted. We went to the Supreme Court and the law was thrown in the face of the president. I can count other cases where the president is lost in court. So let's not. The president doesn't know it all. He doesn't know it all.
But I was asking Honorable Akando that if they, as parliament, let it go in 2017, then it has become a precedent. And that's why the president has done what he has done again. And again, parliament should not be allowed to hold the president to ransom. And that the president must continue to run his government with or without ministers. And if parliament has refused, or maybe not refused, but has failed to approve his ministers, he should still be able to run his government some way, somehow. And if he thinks that sending representatives there to represent him is a way to go, then it is not wrong. Especially since he's entitled to decide who represents him. And I've also quoted for you Article 58.
No. People can always quote Article 58 out of context. People can always quote. It's not done anywhere. The Supreme Court has interpreted, like I told you, it's at the beginning that you can put acting people. So if you say acting, say representative, that one, I will grant it. But this one, the time-tested approach, you check other jurisdictions, is to put an acting, caretaker. Why is it that when the president started, was it not Esla who was caretaker minister for health? Yes, my understanding when this thing happened was that Esla was asked, Esla Usu, to be caretaker. And this is not the first time. It's happened so many times in the past. where the president would ask somebody else to be a caretaker minister, not this representative thing. They say, look, we are maturing as a democracy. I sometimes just don't know why President Akufo-Addo just wants to destroy everything about democracy. It's not fair. It's just not fair. Sometimes I look at him and I don't blame him. I blame us Ghanaian men. We are so docile, very spineless, more interested in football and church. You know, looking that God himself should come down and beat up Akufo-Addo for us. It doesn't happen.
Oh.
We are docile. That's the problem.
Council, you are inviting a mob action on the president now.
No, that example, I thank God, no.
What are you inviting Ghanaian men to descend on the president, literally and physically?
What I'm expecting Ghanaian men to do is to get up and demonstrate every day. Do you know how President Lyndon Johnson was forced not to stand for elections? In early 1968, what men in America did was that they used to go and wait outside the White House. Outside the White House, you know, in the peak of the Vietnam War, and then, you know, Martin Luther King was assassinated, Robert Kennedy was assassinated, and the Vietnam War, Americans were losing lives, etc. So what American men did was that they were always out in the White House demonstrating, until eventually Lyndon Johnson announced that, okay, he would not stand. Don't forget, Kennedy had been assassinated earlier. Yeah, right. That was 1963. Yeah, so the build-up, all those things. So eventually he just agreed that he will not stand again.
Okay.
So we are too docile as a nation.
What should Ghanaian women do? You advise what Ghanaian men should do. What should the women do?
They should also join. You remember what Yvonne Nelson did, the Dumsor Vigil, some years ago, 2015 or so. Yeah, and I hear she wants to do another one. Yes, Yvonne, I support you. And I understand Oliver Bakavoma and Co. By all means, you know, we'll come and join. Yes, we should do that. So, well, forgive me, when I said men, implied like I meant women as
so
well.
So you meant everybody. Last question. You voted for Akufo-Addo and campaigned for him in 2016. Why are you sounding the way you're sounding now?
Because he's obviously shown us that he's worse off than Mahama. You know, we thought Mahama was the worst thing to have happened to our democracy. No, no, we hadn't seen anything yet. You see how Mahama is proving to be better than Akufo-Addo, at least on four fronts. You talk about democracy. Okay, so you check the democracy index. Mahama did better. You check corruption. Oh, that one there. Whoa, it's worse. Press freedom. Mahama did better. The economy better. With Baumia and all the grandstanding, if the fundamentals are weak, the exchange rate will expose you, etc. He went to China. Oh, China will give us 18 billion. We haven't seen the 18 billion. Saudi King will build 42 high schools in Ghana and a university we've not seen, etc. You see how all the lies, the misrepresentations, and the grandstanding is shown that Akufo-Addo and Bawumia don't match up to Mahama. That's where my disappointment is, because we thought that, you see, Akufo-Addo at the time he was coming above 73. He was 73, right? So he said he would not. He will protect the public press. No city will get lost. Now, what are we seeing?
You, you sound like you regretted or you regret having voted for him in 2016.
Absolutely. Now I can confidently say so, because now we are left with how many months to go, and I see that he's not repenting. Yeah, a few months to the election, I see he's not repenting. It's not good. It's a shame.
Let's leave it here.
It's a shame.
That's Martin Kwebu, a lawyer. An activist who is tonight announcing his regret for voting for Nana Addo-Dankwa Akufo-Addo in 2016 as president of Ghana. Now, the issue we're talking about is the issue having to do with the president's representatives at the ministries. The minority said it's unlawful. Martin Kwebu agrees with him, with them. But while that is happening, one of them has been busy working for the president at the Ministry of Health, and he even spoke today. Eno, please tell us the story.
Health Minister Designate Dr. Bernard Okoboy has dismissed reports that he is acting illegally at the Health Ministry. Dr. Okoboy and a few of his colleagues are yet to be approved by Parliament after they were vetted. Many have raised legal issues about his capacity to operate at the ministry. But speaking to journalists in Accra, Dr. Okoboy says he has a letter backing his role at the ministry.
Because His Excellency the President doesn't want the country to stall. Key sectors like health to be suffering from lack of direction. Some of us, let me be specific to myself, we've received letters from the chief of staff making us reps. I am the representative of His Excellency the President at the Ministry of Health.
Health Minister Designate Dr. Bernard Okoboy there. Let's move on to some other stories now. Managers of various health facilities in the eastern regional capital, Kuforidua, are appealing to the government and the Ministry of Energy to address recent erratic power situations to help reduce the surge in operational costs. According to them, aside from spending a lot of money on fuel to power their plants, which are often unreliable, essential medicines and vaccines are also going to waste. Some facility managers who spoke to City News confirmed their inability to transfer the additional operational costs to clients and patients despite struggling to manage the extra expenses. The managing director of Kuforidua Clinic, John Afejiapia, and the medical director for CDC Hospital, Dr. Damien Akwete, have shared their thoughts on how the recent power outages are affecting their operations in the health sector.
Most of the services we render to our clients are based on electricity, in the sense that all our systems are automated and we're working on a digital platform that allows us to be able to render quality and efficient services to our clients. So anytime there's a power outage, it brings the whole clinic to a halt. Thankfully, we have a power plant which we use, but again, the power plant, in my opinion, is supposed to be a backup. But in the case where power goes out for a very long time, then it becomes like the main source of power. And of course, that is not the ideal situation. So it is also going in a long way to affect some of the equipment we are using, some of the machines we are using. And then the matter of cost is something that we cannot hide, because we need to make sure that the plant is well serviced, and then we need to buy fuel. Now that the fuel prices have gone up, it has greatly affected our finances, in the sense that we have to always ensure that at least we have enough fuel in the power plant, and then the power plant is efficient and running.
Production cost, it's much higher now because we need to fuel our plant so we can have our machines running. We need to keep our drugs in the certain drugs in refrigerator and maintain certain temperatures. So in general, production cost, it's gone up a bit, but we are managing. Definitely we are worried, but we hope that government, in collaboration with stakeholders, will be able to overcome this in due course, and they will revert back to normalcy.
You heard the managing director of the Kuforidua Clinic, John Afejiapia, and the medical director for CDC Hospital, Dr. Damien Akwete. Now, with a resurgence of COVID-19 cases in the hospital, the Ghana Health Service has outlined plans to begin a nationwide vaccination exercise from May 4 in response to escalating infections at various healthcare facilities. Set to commence from May 4 to May 10, 2024, the vaccination exercise aims to curb the surge in cases, particularly in parts of Greater Accra, which has recorded the highest numbers so far. Despite concerns over the virus's easy transmission and the need to adhere to safety protocols, some citizens are still reluctant to get their vaccinations. They shared some reasons with City News.
So at that point, I was pregnant, so I wasn't allowed to take the vaccine. Second, I was breastfeeding, and it wasn't allowed also. So that, I think it's not necessary anymore. That's what I think.
The literal expression, the literal understanding of stuff is that if you are ill, that is when you get it. And I'm not ill. So, and I prevented myself from all these things. So, for that particular vaccine, because the way and manner how this thing came, COVID-19 even came, it's way suspicious. Like, if you get to understand a certain level of the world order, you get to understand that it's a way of them using to control, how do you call it, population rate and stuff. Please, I didn't need it because it is even suspicious.
Most times you go there for vaccination and there's a queue. They will then ask you to wait. If you leave to attend to other things in the interim as well, you will come and meet the police close.
Those were some citizens sharing their views on the COVID-19 vaccination. Away from that, the Nanumba North Municipal Health Directorate has raised concerns over a rise in waterborne diseases, especially typhoid cases in the municipality, attributing it to the lack of potable water for consumption. According to the Health Directorate, water is rationed as a result of a water crisis in the municipality, compelling residents to rely on water bodies in the community for drinking and other domestic purposes. City News spoke with Francis Atiagbo, the Municipal Director for Health in Nanumba North Municipality.
From our reports, we realize there has been an increase in typhoid cases, including typhoid perforations at the municipal hospital. And generally, there is water rationing policy, especially in the Bimbila township. And so when people are not getting water, most of the time they depend on the dam water for cooking, washing, and other things, and even including drinking. So that is the source of most of the infections. And the other facilities to some of the communities, they also don't have pipe-borne water, and so they also depend on the dam. And during the rainy season, as the rains have started like this, you know, most of the time the water will wash to the dam and they continue using the water.
Meanwhile, Francis Atiagbo also mentioned some measures taken by his outfit to curb the menace and called for government intervention.
We have also gone to those communities to sensitize them on the importance of making sure that when they even fed the dam water, they boil the water before they drink. And then we have also been working with the environmental unit of the municipality, always monitor those dams to make sure that sanitation in the communities is improved. We've also done community engagement in those areas that most of the cases are coming from, like Chamba area and then also some other communities. Those are the areas that most of the typhoid perforation we recorded at the Bimbila Hospital are coming from. So when we look at the data, we realize these are the areas the cases are coming from. We've gone to those communities together with the presiding member and assemblymen in the area to talk to the people about the need to make sure that their water boils. The government is a municipal assembly. Maybe what they need to come out with bylaws as to how to the dam water and make it a little sound for the people. And also, they should drill more boreholes and mechanize them so that the communities can get potable water.
Francis Atiagbo is the Municipal Director for Health in Nanumba North Municipality. The Ghana National Fire Service has warned the general public to ensure safe use of generators and power plants as alternative to electricity. This follows the increase in use of generators as alternative power source amidst the ongoing erratic power supply. In an interview with City News, the Director of Public Relations for the Ghana National Fire Service, ACFO1, Timothy Osafuafum, explained the risks involved with the use of generators and highlighted safety precautions.
The use of generator comes to two forms of risk. The first risk is that the generator must not be put indoors because it produces carbon monoxide. That is the fume that comes out is composed of carbon monoxide mostly. People tend to refuel the generator while the generator is being powered, and that has a high risk of causing fire outbreak. So these are the two risks associated with the use of generators. So one, we advise that the generator is placed outside in the open so that whatever fumes is generated is dispersed in the atmosphere. Then the second one is that if the fuel in the generator is exhausted, please turn off the generator, refuel before you restart the generator so that you don't cause any fire within your premises.
That was the Director of Public Relations for the Ghana National Fire Service, ACFO1, Timothy Osafuafum. City TV and City FM's annual family consecration service will be happening live tomorrow, May 1, 2024, at the Oil Dome Royal House Chapel in Kanishi. The much-anticipated six-hour event aims to unite families from all corners of Ghana in prayer, seeking divine guidance, protection and blessings for the rest of the year. Starting at 6 a.m. and ending at 12 noon, the six-hour-long service promises a spiritually enriching experience for attendees. Leading the family consecration service will be the esteemed pastoral team of City FM and City TV, led by Reverend Dr. Stephen Wingham, who has been speaking ahead of the event tomorrow.
If you look at the way God works, expectations is crucial. God exceeds our expectation, not just expectation, high expectation. So come knowing, believing, trusting that God will do far more than Ephesians 3 verse 20.
Yeah.
We'll be dealing with issues like bloodline issues, family curses, family altars. We'll be praying for singles. We'll be praying for single parents and name it. So we'll cover family health.
Okay.
So a family member is sick, come, bring them along. And like we said, come expect and knowing, believing. You hear testimonies. Many have named their children, you know. One guy said, wanted to name the son CTFM. I said, oh, wow. I don't like physical. So tomorrow, heavens will come down.
Yeah.
You see all kinds of people. You will see politicians there. You see businessmen and women. They come. And one thing I like about it, people come and they don't come to loiter around.
Yeah.
Everybody's serious.
Yeah. Everybody's serious.
And exactly 12, we closed.
Reverend Stephen Yenison Wingham is General Superintendent of the Assemblies of God Church. See you at the Family Consecration Service.
Eyewitness News. Be there as it happens.
Get the details. Every significant financial transaction, every market movement, and all the policies that affect your business. City Business News. Be informed.
Time now for City Business News on Eyewitness News, brought to you by GCB Bank PLC. GCB Personal Loan. Make that big move and dream a reality. My name is Inosuf. Let's settle for the details of our stories. The Chief Executive Officer of the Ghana Investment Promotion Center, Yofi Grant, has reaffirmed government's commitment to attract foreign investors by actively creating an enabling environment for them to thrive in the country. Yofi Grant underscored the critical role investors play in economic growth. Speaking at the Economic Councillors Dialogue in 2024 held in Accra, the GIPC boss said the country was open to opportunities mutually beneficial to investors and the country.
I think we need to create an ambient environment to rake in foreign direct investment. It's extremely competitive now in the world for foreign direct investment. In fact, some of the countries that we would go to for foreign direct investment are also out there looking for foreign direct investment. Today, as we speak, China is the biggest recipient of FDI. China, but they are also a major, country supporting FDI, because they are also looking for new territories, new markets and all that. And so for us, we are also looking for new partners and new opportunities that we have so we can grow our trade and also sell to other countries.
That was the Chief Executive Officer of the Ghana Investment Promotion Center, Yofi Grant. Absa Bank is set to roll out an initiative intended to equip young people with financial education in the bid to manage their personal finances more effectively. The initiative, held in collaboration with the National Banking College, is dubbed Absa Financial Literacy Program and is aimed at targeting the youth from the senior high schools and junior high school levels. Speaking to the media during the launch of the program, the interim managing director for Absa Bank Ghana Limited, Adolf Pega, express confidence that the initiative will make the youth more responsible in managing their finances.
We say one story at a time, which simply means that we focus on something, we do it, and we do it very well, we move to the next one. When we talk about the tomorrow is about the future, and the youth are the future that we talk about. And therefore, Absa decided to focus on the development and education of the youth, where we want to equip them with financial literacy. With that, we expect that they will be able to become more responsible, financial literate adults. They will play better roles in the economic society, which also means that as our clients, they will be able to understand the products and services we avail to them better. And together, the society will be better off. The current economic climate is a phase, and this phase will pass. We need to prepare for the future. And as I've said, the youth are the future that we talk about. Therefore, we need to develop them, we need to train them, we need to give them the knowledge and skills. Even for the current economic climate, you should be financially literate to operate in it.
You heard the interim managing director for Absa Bank Ghana Limited, Adolf Pega. Meanwhile, the National Banking College has been explaining the rationale behind its collaboration with Absa Bank. Here's principal for the college, Gloria Corte.
The National Banking College, as part of its plans to celebrate its 30th anniversary, decided to embark on a financial literacy program with our partners. So any of the banks who are embarking on any of these programs, we were willing to partner with them as part of our contribution towards expanding the reach. Okay, it just turned out that just when we launched our own, it came out that Absa was also preparing to launch out on the same trajectory. And so we found it very meaningful, really, to partner with them to do this. And so far, it's been a very wonderful collaboration. We are more than happy to be a part of this program. We know that in building the economy, it's important that we cultivated particular habits. Over time, we've had young people following through peer pressure, through the new things that are coming out, and of course, with the expanse of technology, are being able to venture into areas that they otherwise would not have gotten into.
That was the principal for the National Banking College, Gloria Korte. Glyco Capital is aiming to rebuild investor confidence with a new Glyco fixed income fund, emphasizing its safety and cash returns. Ghana's financial sector, including investments, has been negatively impacted by the financial sector cleanup exercise, which consequently dampened investor confidence. Speaking to the media on the sidelines of the launch of the Glyco Fixed Income Fund, Managing Director of Glyco Capital, Anthony Buodu, says the fund is designed to be risk-free.
Our regulator, SEC, is very serious about ensuring that the sector is clean now. So they are very rigorous with their risk assessment, with their monitoring and their controls. We have to go through about 2 years to get this fund registered. And as a fund manager, it's a clean and a new fund. Yes, we know we've had issues in the past. And that's why for this very fund, we will ensure that we have a portfolio that is well diversified to ensure that when there's any issue, our investors will have the kind of liquidity and the support they need anytime they want to withdraw from this fund.
Managing Director of Glyco Capital, Anthony Buodu there. Portfolio Manager for the Glyco Fixed Income Fund, Ruth Fojo, has been providing insights into how investors can subscribe to the newly launched product.
It's a fixed income fund, so we are investing primarily in fixed income securities, which includes corporate securities, government securities, and a mix of near to cash assets as well. To be able to sign up, it's very simple. You just need to log on to our website, which is www.glycocapital.com. You have onboarding forms available on the website. Once you follow through the steps, you'll be able to sign up. All you need is your Ghana card and a passport picture to be able to sign up. And once you are signed on, you have access to a portal where you have a view of your investment portfolio. You are able to initiate transactions such as purchase new shares, initiate other redemption instructions, and perform any instruction that you want to do inside your portal.
Portfolio Manager for the Glyco Fixed Income Fund, Ruth Fojor there. The National Petroleum Authority has increased price floor for some downstream petroleum sector products. In a document cited by City Business News, the NPA has pegged the ex-pump price floor for petrol at 13.63 Ghana cedis per litre for the first pricing window in May, from the previous 13.02 Ghana cedis per litre, while diesel was retained at 13.07 Ghana cedis per litre. Price floor for LPG has also been increased from 10.52 Ghana cedis per kilogram in the second window in April to 10.55 Ghana cedis per kilogram for the first pricing window in May. This price floor for the petroleum products means oil marketing companies and liquefied petroleum gas firms cannot price their products below it. Per the petroleum pricing guidelines, bulk import, distribution, and export companies, oil marketing companies, LPG marketing companies are to ensure full compliance or risk sanctions such as imposition of fines. That's all for City Business News on Eyewitness News. The Business News on Eyewitness News is brought to you by GCB Bank PLC. GCB Personal Loan, make that big move and dream a reality. My name is Inu Safu.
Eyewitness News. Be there as it happens.
This is Point Blank on Eyewitness News. My name is Umaru Sanda Amadu. Tonight on Point Blank, we are going back to Ejisu in the Ashanti region. The by-election there is over. The election results are being tallied. Coalition is yet to start, but the polling station results are coming through. Over 200 polling stations. And the candidates are six. A former member of parliament, three-term MP for the area, running as independent against his own party, the NPP, which is sponsoring a candidate as well. So let's go to the constituency. Our correspondent there is Hafiz Tijani. Let's get some results that are coming through. Hafiz, you're welcome back. The last time I spoke to you, you had only three results from polling stations. I'm sure you've gotten more now. Could you share some of them with us, please?
Okay, so before that, Sanda, I can say that the collation center is very busy. The police officers have stationed themselves here. The electoral commission officials who have been deployed to these polling centers to conduct this election are bringing in their pink sheets, and they declared provisional results at the polling centers, and they are coming into the collation center to get the EC officers to collate the results. So results coming in from other polling centers. We have the Benina Polling Center, Benina RSP Primary Polling Center, Lawyer Kobna Watson of the New Patriotic Party secured 122 votes, and Kobna also Edumi secured 115 votes, and the CPP's candidate, Esther Osei, secured one vote, the LPG's candidate secured one vote, and Fedia Ajman, the independent candidate, one of the independent candidates, also secured one vote. When you go to the Echakrom MA Junior High School, Lawyer Kobna Barton secured 238 votes. Kobna also secured 61 votes. Esther Osei did not get any votes. The LPG's candidate secured one vote. When you go to the Echakrom Community Center 1 polling center, Center 2 polling center, the Community Center, Polling Center 2, the MPP's candidate, Lawyer Kobna Watson, secured 198 votes. Also, Ejiomi secured 69 votes, and the CPP's candidate secured 2 votes. The LPG's candidate secured 1 vote. When you go to the Bonre MA Primary School, the MPP's candidate, Lawyer Kobna Watson, secured 167 votes. Also, Ejiomi secured 148 votes. And when you go to the Bonwe Anglican School, the MPP's candidate at that polling center secured 161 votes. Also, Ediomi secured 129. At the Bonwe Senior High School polling center A, the MPP's candidate, lawyer Kobna Bwati, secured 75 votes. Kobna also, Ediomi secured 80 votes. When you go to the Bonwe Senior High School B polling center, the MPP's candidate secured 91 votes. That is lawyer Kobna Bwati. Also, Ediomi secured 88 votes. Bonwe Assembly, lawyer Kobna Bwati secured 141 votes. Also, Ediomi secured 128 votes. When you go to the Edisu Police Divisional Headquarters Polling Center, lawyer Kobna Bwati secured 67 votes. Also, Ediomi secured 49 votes. And when you go to the Onye Roman Catholic Polling Center, so Onye is the hometown of the MPP's candidate, lawyer Kobna Bwati. He secured 231 votes, and Kobna Ose Diomi secured 32 votes. And when you go to the Promesa MA Basic School, Kobna Bwati secured 134 votes. Also, Diomi secured 101 votes. When you go to the Adakujati Methodist Church Polling Center, also, Diomi secured 70 votes. Kobna Bwati secured 175 votes. And when you go to the Echakom primary, Kobna Bwati secured 202 votes. The LPG's candidate secured 2 votes. And also Ediomi secured 69 votes. When you go to the Asochi Methodist Catholic Polling Center, lawyer Kobna Bwati secured 219 votes. Also, Ediomi secured 107 votes. The LPG's candidate secured 5 votes. And when you go to the Asochi Primary B polling center, the CPP's candidate secured 3 votes. Lawyer Kobna Bwati secured 132 votes. Also, Ediomi secured 83 votes. Pedro Adman, one of the independent candidates, secured 1 vote. The Asochi Primary A polling center, lawyer Kobna Bwati secured 133 votes. Kobna also Ediomi secured 62 votes. And one of the independent candidates, Joseph Atakwa, also secured 1 vote. When you go to the Asuchi MA Junior High School, lawyer Kobna Bwati secured 154 votes. Also, Ediomi also secured 142 votes. The LPG's candidate, Beatrice Bwati, secured 2 votes. Esther Osai of the CPP secured a vote, 1 vote. Freddy Ajiman, one of the independent candidates, also secured 2 votes. When you go to the Roman RC, so I think these were the results we put on when we spoke on the show. Let me go to the Edisto Council Polling Center. Lawyer Kobna Bwati secured 97 votes. Kobna Ose Ediomi also secured 107 votes. When you go to the Promesa MA Basic Polling Center, Basic School Polling Center, Kobna Ose Ediomi secured 101 votes. And then Kobna Bwati secured 134 votes. When you go to the Onye Catholic Church Polling Center, lawyer Kobna Bwati secured 231 votes, and the LPG's candidate secured 1 vote. Kobna also Ediomi secured 32 votes. And when you go to Bisiansi Sakura Park Polling Center, so Bisiansi is the hometown of the independent candidate, Kobna also Ediomi. At that place, lawyer Kobna Bwati secured 51 votes. Beatrice Bwati of LPG secured a vote. And also Ediomi secured 340 votes. And Freddy Ajiman and the other independent candidates did not get a vote. So when you go to the Edisu Abanko MA Primary A Polling Center, the CPP's candidate secured 1 vote. Kobna Bwati of the MPP secured 196 votes. Kobna Ose Ediomi secured 109 votes. And one of the independent candidates, Pedia Adjiman, secured 2 votes. Ejiso Abanko, MA Prime, B Polling Center. Kobna Watson of the MPP secured 233 votes. Kobna Osu Ejiomi secured 114 votes. When you go to the Onye MA Primary School, Kobna Watson secured 200 votes. And Osu Ejiomi also garnered 46 votes. When you go to the Chief's Palace, the Ejiso Chief Palace, one polling center. The Onye Chief Palace, one polling center. Lawyer Kobna Boateng secured 243 votes. Osu Ejiomi had 141 votes. And when you go to the Old Jabin polling center, lawyer Kobna Boateng secured 251 votes, and Ejiomi secured 148 votes. When you go to the Chief Palace polling center B, lawyer Kobna Boateng secured 243 votes. Ejiomi secured 141 votes. So these are the provisional results so far from these areas. And for Mr. Riverside Academy, lawyer Kobna Boateng secured 79 votes and Ejiomi secured 80 votes. So these are the provisional results so far coming in from the 204 polling stations. And so far, these are the results we have. And the Electoral Commission officials are arriving here at the collation center for the process to continue.
Interesting. Is it too early to say a picture is forming yet?
So when you look at the results so far coming in, you realize that the candidates are making a case in their strongholds. They are making, they are winning in their strongholds. So when you go to Bishiasi, for instance, which is the hometown of Kobna Osu Ejiomi, he's winning most of the polling centers at that place. And when you go to the Onye areas where lawyer Kobna Boateng hails from, he's also making a lot of inroads there. And the results for one candidate in his area or his stronghold is appreciated or is higher than his contender who does not have that place being his stronghold or his hometown. But when you look at other areas like Bonre and Abanko and within Ejiso, you see that the results are not too, like the margin between the two candidates is not too wide, meaning that these are areas they have also split some votes, which are not their major strongholds.
From the way things are looking, do you anticipate that all the provisional results would come through maybe by the next 30 minutes, even though the coalition may take a little more time?
Exactly. When you see the arrival of the electoral officials or the electoral commission officials from across the areas, a number of them have been here. I can say over 50 of them have been here so far since the results or polls closed at 5 p.m. and the counting began. A number of them have been coming. You know, the areas are not too far apart, and they are being transported with a vehicle. So they are able to get to the collation center, and the collation center is in the middle of the Ejiso municipality. So they are able to get there on time. So far, the numbers are encouraging in terms of the arrival of the electoral officers who are bringing in this result. So they are coming in and consulting with other electoral officers who will be computing the results on a projected screen in the auditorium of the Catholic Church, which is the main collation center. And the process, I think, would enter deep into the night, but we are all hoping that the electoral commission officers who are collating the results are able to fast-track the process for the results to be declared.
Are the candidates at the coalition centers yet? Coalition center yet?
Well, the candidates are not here yet, except that you see their agents, you see part of their campaign teams, you see for the MPP, you see regional constituency as well as national executives who are coming in, and that of the supporters of the independent candidate.
Thank you so much. Hafiz Tijani is our correspondent there in the Ashanti region, reporting for us from the Ejisu Coalition Center. And so the results that we are looking at, it looks like the independent candidate, Eduemi, is doing a very good job there. Based on the picture that is forming, it doesn't appear as though he would win, but it appears as though he would give the MPP candidate a run for his money. Some projections that are coming through are suggesting a 48-52 percentage kind of thing. But we still wait. As and when we get the official results coming through, we'll announce them for you here. But the Electoral Commission has issued an update on the incident that happened where a member of parliament was seen giving an envelope to some officers of the EC, which is a video that has been going viral. The EC has issued a statement and it says, following the incident that occurred during the conduct of the Ejisu by-election today, the commission has... Okay, it says... let me read that again. Following the incident that occurred during the conduct of the Ejisu by-election today, Friday, 30th April 2024, I think they meant to write Tuesday, not Friday, the commission has undertaken preliminary investigations. The investigations reveal that the officers at the said polling station, namely Fumesua Pentecost Church polling station, with polling station code F311503, were temporary election officials of the Electoral Commission recruited to conduct the Ejisu by-election. They are Regina Sewa, ballot issuer, and George Sasu, presiding officer. Our investigations further revealed that a man in the video walked to their table and inquired whether they had eaten. He then placed the envelope on the table and asked them to use the contents of the envelope for their lunch, following which he walked away. The Electoral Commission has taken the following actions: withdrawn with immediate effect the services of the two temporary election officers, held preliminary discussions with the Ghana Police Service to kickstart the process for criminal investigations into the matter. Thank you. Signed, Samuel Tete, Deputy Chairperson in charge of operations at the Electoral Commission. That would be it for Eyewitness News tonight. My name is Umaru Sandamadu. I did this with Eno Safo. Production by Kobna Wilson and Beverly Landon. Technical support from Desmond Nyaku, with support from CK or Charles Kettins. And of course, Edwin Kwakufi supporting us on the new media side of things. We'll be back tomorrow at 17:30 GMT. Thank you for listening and have a good night.
City News, we speak first. Reach our hotline on